Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: you are my Son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. At once, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news.
Thanks, Chan. Well, friends, do keep your Bibles open there in Mark chapter 1. As we spend our time together this morning, I wonder if someone asked you what Trinity Church Brighton is all about, what would be some of the things that come to mind for you? It might be that you're someone who thinks back on the good old days when you were here. Perhaps now you're in fellowship in another church, and we're delighted to have you back with us. But as you reflect on the time that you spent here, what would you say really characterised Trinity Bay, as it might have been in the day, for those of us that gather here each week? What do you think is right at the centre of who we are and what we're on about? I wonder if you'd say something about love. Because in the 4 years that my family and I have been here as part of this family, we've seen just loads of love. Love for one another as we share in life and its various ups and downs. Loads for the people that we've shared life with across the journey, and some of whom we've bid farewell to in various different directions. Loads of love for the community around us who aren't here in church, but we'd love to join us. I think if someone asked me, you know, what are we on about? I'd actually say love sits right at the heart of who we are. I wonder if you'd have anything to say about being creative, though. Being creative, being brave. This came to mind because as I reflected on the 20 years of people gathering here at Trinity Church Brighton/Bay, I am struck by just how creative this church family has been for the sake of loving the community around us. For one thing, and for many of us who are more recent here, we may not be aware that this church has actually met in a bunch of places. It is a wonderful illustration of the simple truth that church is not the building, it's very much the people. 20 years ago this week, Trinity Bay kicked off in the community centre over the back fence in the room where our R2s, Trinity Kids, are right now. But in their creativity, it didn't initially start as a 10 a.m. gathering. It began as an afternoon gathering because that seemed like a really great way to connect with a community around us that is pretty tied up on Sunday mornings with sport and nippers and sailing clubs and all sorts of things. For all of the assumptions about church happening on a Sunday morning, the original planting team started with an afternoon gathering to connect with people who are doing other things on their Sunday mornings. And yet in their kind of creativity and love, they didn't fixate on it as if, well, that now has to define us forever. So after a season of growing and experimenting, they shifted to two gatherings, one at 10 in the morning and one in the evening at 6 p.m. And then in 2012, the move was made to this building, to a new venue to allow for growth. But even then, it wasn't actually Macaulay Community School, it was Marymount College. We've been here longer than this school has, if you kind of know what I mean. And how thankful we are for such a long association with this place. Even being able to welcome in the new administration at Macaulay and kind of give them a few tips and hints on how things work. Although we're going to be asking them to work out what's wrong with the lights. That's on them today. But in many ways, the creativity was just getting started because around 2014, the evening gathering shifted up the coast and rebadged as Beach Church, meeting at the Seacliff Yacht Club, Somerton Yacht Club. Seeking to engage the local community where they were at. Eventually, Beach Church wrapped up, but the desire that was there to keep thinking creatively carried on, and so it was down in various different combinations down to Marion Bowls Club for Trinity Bay Evenings, 2017 and 18, until that wrapped up too. And in the meantime, the opportunity arose to send a group of people south to plant Trinity Church Woodcroft in 2019. Now, of course, that was a very sad time with so many dear friends leaving, but actually a really joyful time because the conviction is that this is good for the gospel. This is good for the people of the southern suburbs to have a Trinity Church in the neighbourhood, and Woodcroft College became their home. And in fact, just in the last couple of weeks, many of us who have friends or even family down at Trinity Woodcroft will know that they are now even on the lookout for a new venue as they continue to think creatively and ambitiously about how they can reach more people for Jesus in the southern suburbs. Throughout this time, there have been amazing opportunities to be very creative in sharing the gospel in local schools, to have crowds of people gather together here, this place chock full for carol services, this room, just this joyful chaos with gingerbread events, to head down to the beach many times over the years for loads of baptisms to celebrate together, to gather people around food and events, creatively looking to love the people around us. I think it's an awesome story of love and kind of creative courage, looking for ways to connect with the community around us with the good news of Jesus. Because it's a beautiful story because it's tiring. and it's actually quite unsettling, all of that change. But I hope you'll agree, it's really inspiring. So what is it that's been at the heart of Trinity Church Brighton / Bay to motivate all of that over these years? Well, I think it's summed up pretty well in Mark's summary of Jesus' own preaching ministry that we read at the end of that passage that Chen read for us. Jesus' words, "The kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news." I think it would be hard to sum up the consistent theme of Trinity Brighton over the 20 years better than with this one verse on the lips of Jesus himself. We actually read this passage from Mark chapter 1 this morning because I got in touch with John Warner, the planting pastor of that led the team to kick off Trinity Bay 20 years ago, and checked in with him, and he said, "Well, actually, this was the passage that he spoke on 20 years ago." I said, "I reckon that's good for us today too." I think it comes as no surprise that the Bible passage that shaped the tone for Trinity Bay 20 years ago would be entirely appropriate to reflect on today as well. Because it's a passage that reminds us that it is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and joining in with his great mission of love for this world. As we've just read, Mark's gospel opens with the bold statement. Mark is incredibly bold in saying, actually, this book, this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. We might have read that quite easily, you know, as Chen brought that passage to us, and we know that's what Mark's on about. But actually, let's pause. This is Mark being incredibly bold. Hi guys, the book that I'm writing for you that you're about to read, it just happens to be about the most amazing, the most important man who has ever walked the face of the earth. And oh, by the way, he happens to be God come with us. He happens to be the one who brings the Spirit of God amongst us. He happens to be the one who is the very reign of God for us. He's the one who invites us to repent, because he's the one who offers the way to forgiveness, a forgiveness that only God can give. There's nothing small about this. It's so bold and courageous. This is all about Jesus and his mission. But it struck me as we come to Mark chapter 1 again, this also reminds us that this is the mission of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that they were on about long before Trinity Bay kicked off, long before even Holy Trinity Adelaide was a church plant 190 years ago. It was even a mission that God was committed to long before Jesus even walked the earth. In a really subtle way, Mark chapter 1 reminds us that Jesus has always been at the center of God's plan, and that it's always been part of God's plan to use other people to make Jesus known. I wonder if that stood out for you as we read through that passage, that Mark chapter 1 tells us that in the months before Jesus himself began his ministry, his older cousin John the Baptist was playing a role that itself had been planned for centuries before. In fact, God had let his people know about it centuries before, but it's evident that he had it in mind for all eternity. Because centuries before Jesus, before John the Baptist was born, God's prophets had pointed forward to the coming of God's king, and they'd made it very clear that there would be one who would come and prepare the way. One who would be a messenger from God to prepare the way for the Lord. And then, centuries later, John shows up, preparing people to meet Jesus, helping them to understand that the long-awaited time had come. You see, John the Baptist was the last of the prophets who pointed forward to the coming of God's king, and he was the first of the evangelists who pointed back, and well, actually for him, he pointed right there and said, here is Jesus in front of us. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But it's always been part of God's plan to use other people to point to Jesus. God had used centuries of prophets pointing forward to the coming of Jesus. Then he used John the Baptist to say, like, here he is in the flesh, right here with us. And now he has used centuries of ordinary Christians pointing back to Jesus, the man who lived and died and rose again at a point in history. And that is the line of gospel proclaimers that we stand in. And that's why Trinity Brighton has always been about knowing Jesus ourselves. That we want to be people who hear and respond to these same words ourselves. That we sit with a humility when we hear the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the good news. We want to be a humble people who hear those words ourselves, respond to them in faith ourselves, and then joyfully pass them on. To repeat these words of Jesus written for us, repeated into our community, to say to our friends and our family, our colleagues, the kingdom of God's come, repent and believe the good news. Let's be clear, I don't remember ever rolling that sentence out over a beer with a mate after work, but in bits and pieces and here and there, and come and hear more of who this Jesus is, because the King of God's kingdom has come near. Jesus came as one of us, he walked amongst us, he died for us, and now he dwells in us by his Spirit. And for 20 years, that has been the catch cry of Trinity Church Brighton. Because we know how good this news is, and it's our great passion, that we would have not just an impact, but actually an outsized, an oversized impact with this message. We'd love to have an impact that goes beyond our immediate reach. I have to say that was one of the things that struck me as I reflected on God's work in our midst here at Trinity Brighton over the last 20 years. It occurred to me that not only has this been a tremendously creative church family, it's also been one that is tremendously generous in its commitment to sending people out with the gospel? Planting Trinity Church Woodcroft is probably one of the most obvious examples of this, but it's by no means the only one. There have actually been loads of other people sent with a similar joy and sadness. Has it ever occurred to you that Trinity Church Brighton could be significantly larger than it is if we weren't so jolly generous? But what a joy it's been to see people head out from here to join church plants at Kernelight Gardens or more recently to help establish Tonsley. And loads of other people have been farewelled over the years as they've moved away from Brighton, spurred on by their time with us, so that they can be salt and light in whatever locations God takes them. To illustrate the point, and this is just one illustration, it occurred to me that Brighton has been tremendously generous, but also very intentional in the training of gospel workers amongst us. I wanted to get my facts right, so I did a quick fact check with some of our longest-serving members, and on our count, there are now 7 gospel workers in ministry around Adelaide alone who spent really formative time being trained for ministry here at Brighton. And that's not to mention many others who've gone out from here in various other forms of ministry and service in life in all sorts of ways, or other people that have been to Bible college, like Jane, who recently completed her study, Paul, who's been with us recently and sort of hit pause on that while he and his wife Brianna spent a year in Drossen. Loads of people serving in lots of ways, but I do think the particular legacy of Trinity Brighton kind of spread across this city is something particularly thankful, to be thankful for. And so we've got a video here, and I hope you find this encouraging.
Happy birthday, Trinity Church Brighton.
Happy birthday, Trinity Church Brighton. Happy 20th birthday.
Happy birthday, Trinity Church Brighton.
Happy birthday, Trinity Church Brighton.
Happy birthday, Trinity Church Brighton.
Happy birthday, Trinity Bay, Trinity Brighton. Old habits.
I'm Colin. I was at Trinity Bay, as it was, or Trinity Brighton, since 2008 as an ordinary member of church. And then in 2013, I became student minister. And then eventually, I became the associate pastor, 2016 to 2018, before a bunch of us went off to plant Trinity Church Woolcroft. That's where I've been serving for the last 7 years now. That's gone quickly.
My name's Mark. I was on the staff team a while back at Brighton as a ministry trainee back in 2017 and 2018. My wife Felicia and I were there. We're up in the northeast now. I'm on the staff team at Trinity Church Modbury, which is great as well.
I'm Jamie Seafang. I was at Trinity Brighton from 2006 to 2016. I'm now serving as a senior pastor at Trinity Church Kernelight Gardens.
Hello, friends at the Trinity Bay. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Hello, welcome. I'm Hamish. I was at Trinity Bay in 2010, the same time Stephen was. Anyway, just wanted to say hi and yeah.
Tim Black here, youth pastor at Trinity Church Adelaide. I was at Trinity Bay from 2012 to 2016 as a member, a ministry apprentice, and last of all, as a student minister.
My name's Daniel March. I was involved in admin at Trinity Bay from around 2011 to 2014, and I was heavily involved with the 6 p.m. service. I'm now the pastor of the Birdwood United Church.
My name's Stephen. G'day, how you doing? I was at Trinity Bay back then in 2010 and 2011, and then I came back a bunch of times for missions in schools and some other stuff as well. Now, I'm the kids and families pastor in the city.
My name is David Brown. I was at Trinity Bay as a student minister from the beginning in 2006 through to the end of 2009 when my wife Dee and I moved to take up a different ministry opportunity. I'm currently working at St. Matt's at Kensington as the assistant minister there, as well as teaching biblical studies and theology at BCSA and at Tabor. One thing that I'm particularly thankful for in my time at Trinity was to be able to spend some time working out church and community to build some really deep relationships and work hard at living out our Christian life together.
What I loved about my time in Trinity Bay was it really formed me for ministry. We made some deep friendships that now, we still carry on through to this day.
I'm really thankful to the people there at the time, particularly Pastor John Warner. Although I was in admin, he knew I was interested in ministry, and the time that he took to explain what he was doing and what was involved in ministry and the opportunities that he gave me to preach and the feedback he gave me from that preaching was a really important part of growing into that role, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for all of you, and I pray that you'll have a wonderful birthday celebration and that God will continue to bless your church to raise up people to go out into that harvest field.
I am so thankful to God for my time at Trinity Bay. The incredible evangelistic culture that existed and permeated the whole community, from life courses to Sydney Uni missions teams coming over to Christmas and Easter in schools. I am so thankful for my time there. It was at Trinity Bay that I was given the chance to have a crack at ministry, to be encouraged by the staff and the leadership and the congregation together to try serving in ministry more, to work in vocational ministry. I'm so thankful for the support and encouragement that I had there.
I became a Christian at Trinity Bay. I'm so thankful to God for this church, thankful for my parents, my youth leaders, young adults leaders who patiently chased me with the gospel. It's also where I was encouraged to have a go at serving in ministry for the first time. And Aisha and I constantly thank God for all the time and money and energy and encouragement that so many from your church poured into us. We really praise God for your church.
One of my memories of Brighton was just having a really good time working under Colin 1 year and Cameron another year. But also the way that the whole Brighton family really welcomed us in. Would have been kind of easy to think, these guys are only here for a couple of years, we just weren't really investing in them too much. But people were really kind to us, had us around for dinner, shared life with us, really made us feel welcome in that short time. It was a great church family to be part of.
I'm so thankful for how even before we arrived at Brighton, training and raising up leaders was just always there, always part of the culture there. And that meant a lot of us, me included, were given the confidence to give ministry a go, knowing that everyone was so supportive. So I'll forever be grateful to so many of you who very patiently sat through things that I did. So thank you. Have a great birthday. Thank you for encouraging me into ministry. Never let that culture go.
Happy birthday! Woo-ha-ha-ha-ha!
Nice to give Hamish the last word. For those of you that don't know these guys personally, it might have been hard to catch all the details on the way through, but there's Daniel Marks now in Birdwood, Dave Brown in Kensington, Colin Taylor in Woodcroft, Jamie Seafang at Kernelight Gardens, Mark Curran up at Modbury, and then Steve Emson and Tim Blagg serving at Trinity Church Adelaide. That is your legacy under God. Now, these are great people doing great work of making Jesus known who've been really significantly impacted by their time here at Trinity Church Brighton. And I think it's a great reminder of the privilege of loving the people that we do church with and loving the people that we want to share Jesus with, being passionate for many more to come to know our great God and Saviour. And that's what I hope we can celebrate for this 20th anniversary Sunday. We celebrate looking back over the years of God's kindness to us, giving thanks for the love of God shed amongst us, and giving thanks for the privilege of being fellow workers in this place. But more than just looking back, I hope today is also about looking forward, because our heart still beats with the same rhythm of God's love for this world. We still follow the same King who still calls people, inviting them to make peace with him and find peace with him. We still reach out to the same world, inviting them to repent and believe the good news, because it is still such very good news. So I hope today is a day of renewed, prayerful commitment to being God's people in this part of the city. A question for you to ponder and perhaps even chat about over lunch: what might it look like for us in another 10 years? To be able to think back on the creative ventures that we've tried, the different things, the different places that we've been to share the good news of Jesus. And what might it look like for us to continue to be just as intentional in raising up the next generation of gospel workers in our midst? I mean, that's actually the reason why I asked Chen to read the Bible for us this morning as our current student minister. Chen's a really tangible reminder that we're still on about this. But the need has actually grown even more urgent over the passage of 20 years across Adelaide and even around Australia. We are seeing that need for many more people to step out of other worthwhile occupation to be trained and equipped for full-time gospel ministry, to lead communities of God's people. What does it look like for us to be a community that continues to be actively raising others up? But perhaps even more than that, rather than just thinking about those people to raise up, I wonder whether some of us might consider being the person raised up to be further equipped to serve here or further afield. Of course, we know that God's kingdom work is way bigger than us, and that's why we love to partner with people beyond ourselves who are also taking the good news out. It's just a joy to be partnering with Lauren and the team on campus with ES at Flinders Uni, or ES across Adelaide more generally. Likewise with Bush Church Aid in regional Australia and CMS as they go global with the gospel, as people like Christy in Southeast Asia do. This is our great privilege in helping others hear the good news of Jesus. But friends, the other thing that strikes me as we read these opening paragraphs from Mark's gospel is that it is a sober reminder of what is at stake. Did it occur to you as we read of this ancient prophecy from Isaiah of that describes the voice of one calling out in the wilderness to prepare the way of the Lord, that is actually so often where God places us? When John the Baptist came, he certainly fit the bill. He was rocking around in wilderness clothing, eating wilderness food. And then we read in verse 14, Mark just sort of mentions it in passing, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. After John was put in prison. Because pointing people to Jesus often comes at a cost. From the prophets who came before John, to John himself and generations beyond, those who have pointed others to Jesus have always operated in the wilderness to some extent. And John's experience of persecution and imprisonment, and even eventually his death, was by no means the last. In fact, he was the first of many, many who pointed people to Jesus and paid a hefty price in worldly terms for that privilege. And that cost takes all kinds of different shape. I know many here at Brighton have felt it in various different ways. But let's be encouraged to remember that it is thoroughly worthwhile. Perhaps that cost you feel in the hours spent in team meetings to organise that evangelistic course or that event, perhaps that's the late nights you spend running youth group or the early Sunday mornings to come in and set up church. Brothers and sisters, remember that in the scheme of eternity, that time is very well spent. There's the cost in the things that we say no to so that we can say yes to being together as church, to make it a priority to be here for the sake of encouraging one another, of building each other up, of welcoming others who join us, for the sake of the fellowship that we share in Jesus. Know that it's worth it. There's the cost of our financial partnership that enables us to do so much more together than we could ever do apart. Brothers and sisters, as we look back on 20 years of financial generosity and partnership in ministry, know that it is worth it. And as we look forward, let's keep praying that God would grow us in the joy of sacrificial giving for the sake of others knowing our great King Jesus. Now, as far as I'm aware, being associated with Trinity Church Brighton hasn't cost anyone their job, let alone put them in prison like John the Baptist. Yet. But it might have caused a few raised eyebrows in a conversation at the school gate. I wonder if you felt that. Perhaps your association with Jesus has cost you a few choice words over a beer after work with a colleague, or even a cold shoulder at a social gathering sometime. And friends, it might continue to do so. Because if there is one consistent witness of the gospel writers to the life of the Christian, it is that it is all in for Jesus. And it's undoubtedly worth it. 20 years ago, John and Gita Warner led that small team to plant this church. And they've sent us a brief greeting that we're going to have a look at. And as they say, yeah, a lot has changed, not just the name. But isn't it wonderful that at the core of what we're on about, it is all just the same? Knowing that Jesus really is number one, that he is such good news for us that we long to share it with others. Let's hear from John and Gita.
Well, happy birthday, Trinity Church Brighton, from John and Gita Warner. Well, we knew you and loved you as Trinity Bay Church for all the family. And you began as a group of 8 adults and their children who met to read the Bible and pray about planting a church in the south. And wow, look at you now.
And then on Sunday, March 5th, 2006, some 40 adults, youth and children launched this church to share the good news of Jesus, praying that many might turn and put their trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin. How good and faithful has God been these 20 years? The pastors and preachers may have changed, but the gospel message preached has not. While many of Jesus' people at Brighton may have changed, Jesus promised that life is found as his people expend their lives to serve Jesus, and the spread of the gospel has not. The name of the church may have changed, but the urgency of Jesus' mission for his people to deny themselves so that the gospel might be taken to other people and places has not. Many things have changed in 20 years, but God's love for people lost to him has not.
We are so thankful to God for the faithfulness of Jesus, who will sustain you in all seasons.
May Jesus continue to delight to build his church at Trinity Brighton, as his people strive side by side for the sake of the lost, remembering that Jesus came to serve and give his life as a ransom for many.
It strikes me that I think the Wi-Fi is struggling with the humidity as well. Thanks for putting up with the glitchy video, but they are great words for me to wrap up with. So in a minute, we're going to pray in thankfulness for this last 20 years as God's people in this place. And we're going to ask God to continue to work in us and through us. And I've been pretty intentional in asking the people who are leading us in this time of prayer. None of them like public speaking at all. It's a great service that they're sharing with us in this. You see, Hans started coming to church after his adult son, who was a mate of mine back in the day, himself came to faith in Jesus. And among many other things, it was the faithful teaching of the Bible, the clear proclamation of the gospel, that had a really central role in shaping Hans' own faith in Christ. On a different note, Alio grew up here at Trinity Brighton, and his experience reflects this church's deep commitment to teaching the next generation of young people, kids and youth, the goodness of life with Jesus. And Peter, my wife, will lead us in prayer for the ongoing privilege of seeing people take up an invitation from their friends to come and meet Jesus. That's been one of the enduring things that struck us during our 4 years here. The tremendous privilege of walking alongside those who come to hear the good news of Jesus, to see his great goodness for their own lives and their great need for him. We have so much to be thankful for. So as I step down, can I invite Hans and Alio and Peter to come forward and lead us in prayer.
Let's pray, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing and support in establishing a wonderful church community at Trinity Brighton 20 years ago. We thank you for the succession of pastors who in their own individual style have preached your word with great integrity and enthusiasm, with the Bible as the pivotal authority and reference. The pastoral staff and the church community as a whole have been very welcoming to people such as myself coming to faith later in life, and they continue to support and encourage us as we undertake our Christian journey. I also believe they've been similarly supportive to young people and those coming from different backgrounds and cultures. Our participation in growth groups, led by some wonderful, knowledgeable growth group leaders, also nourishes us in gaining further understanding of both your word and what it means to be a follower and disciple of the Lord Jesus. We look forward to the future at Trinity Brighton. Thank you, Father.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness over the past 20 years at Trinity Church Brighton. As Psalm 78 says, we declare the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord to the next generation. And we thank you that this has been happening here for 2 decades. Thank you for the children and the young people who have heard the gospel in this church. Thank you for the many who have opened the Bible, grown in understanding, and come to trust in Jesus. We thank you for the leaders who have faithfully served week after week, giving their time, their energy, and their care to teach and guide young hearts. Thank you for their consistency and their love. Lord, we also thank you for those who once sat in these children's and youth programs at Trinity Church Brighton and are now serving you, leading, teaching, welcoming, discipling, and building up this church and beyond. Thank you for growing them from young listeners into faithful servants. That is your work. And Father, as we look ahead, we ask that you would continue this ministry. Please use us to grow the children of this church as disciples of Jesus and reach many more children who are not yet part of the church and young people who do not yet know Jesus. Draw them to yourself and help us to faithfully share the gospel with the next generation. We give you glory and our thanks.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for 20 years of friends, family, and neighbours being invited to church here to hear the good news of Jesus. Thank you so much for the privilege it has been to see you at work in people's hearts and lives. We thank you for the people you have brought into your kingdom over the past 20 years through Trinity Church Brighton. Whether they remain here at Brighton now with us or have moved on to serve in other places, we pray that you would keep growing each of them to be more like your Son, Jesus. Father, we ask that you keep growing us all in our appreciation of just how good it is to be loved by you and to live life with you and for you. Grow our desire for our friends and family to know your love and grace. And please give us boldness, humility, and zeal, we pray. May we as a church family love our community well, witnessing to those in our local area and beyond. Help us to love with action and in truth. May we shine like stars as we hold firmly to the word of life. Lord, for the next 20 years and well beyond that, we ask that you would keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Please fill us with the knowledge of your will so we may live lives worthy of you and please you in every way. Strengthen us so that we might have great endurance and patience and give joyful thanks to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. To you be the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.